Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday motorcyclist, covering current bike and racing news and specializing in track riding and club racing. And well, we do it all. This week, we're brought to you once again by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop out of Northern Utah. And you can direct any other questions you might have on that to Cole.
And I'm Cole.
And that's Cole. And this is Easton. Your two favorite hosts of your favorite motorcycle podcast. And I have an announcement. I was actually trying to do the math on this and figure out if this was next week or this week, but whatever. This is episode 52, and we do an episode every week, and we haven't skipped a week because can't stop, won't stop. So that would mean that I think next week will be our one-year anniversary, but we could celebrate it now anyway because who cares?
One-year anniversary. You know why that's interesting to me? The first thing that popped into my mind is we did the third one. We did the third one from Austin at the MotoGP event.
Mm-hmm.
And that is right around the corner. So that would make sense that it's...
There are 3 weeks until Austin, Texas.
So, well, good. It's been great with you for a year.
Thanks. I feel very similar to that. Did I make it awkward enough?
What? Yeah. How's your weather over there, Dink?
It was a little cold today. You know, it only got up to 63. But it started at 38. That's the key. It did actually start kind of cold today. But the UV index was a primo.
Well, as you know, I attended the USBA awards banquet last night in Tooele, trackside.
Mm-hmm.
And... Okay. It the wind was blowing. It was a little bit cold. It got dark. It was time to go home, and we walked outside, and it was snowing.
At the racetrack?
At the racetrack.
When is your first track day supposed to be?
Last week of April.
Okay. All right. You're fine.
It'll be good.
You're fine. Yeah, you know, I was filming a video, which actually it's a perfect segue into, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. Go ahead and click the subscribe button down below. If you're not on YouTube, that's great. You're listening. That's what this is for. But we do have a YouTube channel. Go check it out. Working Class Customs YouTube channel. You can find us there and other videos. And anyway, I was filming a video for that YouTube channel yesterday, and I was talking about how it's like springtime and riding weather and track days. And it's that time of year. And then I thought about you and I was like, unless you're in Utah or Colorado or any of those places where it's still cold, sorry, that sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, it's that time of year where you can ride on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday for an hour. And
yeah, but don't put the snow plows up yet.
But don't put the snow plows away just yet. Actually, it took me an extra half hour to get home because I was following some of them famous Utah, the offset snow plows.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get three of them.
Yeah.
And they get the blade on the front and the blade on the side, and they're just
like, yeah, cruising. And to be fair, they were pushing zero snow. They were just salting my car for me. So
that's good. It's really good for the underbody, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's like one of them budget things, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. So they were going ahead and using the rest of their budget.
That's solid. Yeah. That's what you want. Their budget.
Well, hey, so you don't want us to get too far into this before we roll an intro. You better roll the dang intro.
All right, we can roll an intro. Make sure you stick around for the intro or for after the intro, because after the intro, we're going to get in MotoGP. We're going to cover some World Superbike. We're going to give you the fantasy updates, and we're going to get you a weekly riding tip. So stick around. We'll roll the intro. We'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
Yesterday, at one point, I was in sick.
We're back.
And during the break, me and Easton were talking about some dirt bikes. And
one specifically, but yeah.
We're talking about one dirt bike specifically, but that made me laugh because of a conversation I had last night, actually, about, you know, somebody going out and buying a dirt bike because they were going to use it for cardio training and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know what racers do?
No, I don't. I've never been one.
Yeah, well, they race. So the cardio is out the window and all of a sudden you're racing something else. And
yeah. Well, that's why you buy a good pair of running shoes, right? Yeah. As a racer, the best thing you could do is buy a good pair of running shoes because then you'll go race. It's probably not going to happen. But anyway.
Yeah, well, at my age, I can get injured running.
That is not your weekly riding tip. But on that note, do you want the weekly riding tip?
Let's have it.
All right. This week's weekly riding tip, once again brought to you by Bendinger Motorsports. Let's see. Here we go. All right. We don't have a word this week.
No ergo?
No ergo, no word to start off with, but that's okay.
That is such a simple word. You know, I listened to the podcast back and I'm pretty disappointed.
Ergo is not a word.
Yeah, it's slang.
Yeah, not a word. So you can't say a simple word. You could say simple slang term. That's fine, but it's still not a word.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to get all technical about it. All right.
Let's not get hung up on semantics.
Weekly tip from Bendinger Motorsports. Find the root cause and get back on the bike. Every now and again, we crash. It's part of the sport. As much as crashes suck, they also need to be treated as learning opportunities. Why did it happen, and how can we avoid it again? It's easy to chalk up the wreck to X, Y, Z and move on, but take time to analyze, find out exactly what happened. Additionally, get back on the bike as soon as you can, if you're ready. Taking too much time away from riding can allow you to get in your head and maybe even not return to riding. Figure it out, learn from it, and get back on that horse. And that is this week's riding tip. Brought to you by Bendinger Motorsports. Josh Bendinger down at Bendinger Motorsports Park. Why did I say park? They operate out of MSRH. I'll just say it again. Houston. The H stands for Houston. Go check them out. A link will be down in the description. Anyway.
Wow.
Sorry, I had to make the John Wayne joke because he said the horse thing. We should do a John Wayne quote every week because my favorite quote ever in the entire world is life's hard and it's harder if you're stupid. And that's from John Wayne. So don't be stupid. Life won't be too hard. And that's going to close up this week's podcast. See you guys next week.
So let's dig into that riding tip.
Okay.
You've put a bike down before.
I have a couple times.
How was it getting back on the bike?
So I will say that much like the tip suggests or says you should do, I made a very key point. The first time it took me a day because I had to get the bike ready to be got back onto. But the second time I had.
Did you have to fix the ergos?
No, the front wheel was bent and so I didn't have brakes. Dude, I bled those brakes 12 different times, and I just kept thinking it was me, and I took it over to a mechanic, and he bled them 3 times and replaced a tube, and he was like, it should be good to go, and then I went out, and they were squishy again. I was like, dude, nope. Then his mechanic, like top dude, came out and was like, did you say you wrecked yesterday? I was like, yeah, and he's like, your rotor could be bent. So he put it up on the stand, and the whole freaking wheel was just, well, I think I've told this story before on here, but anyway, bent wheel, got a new wheel, we're good. Got back on the horse. Second time I had a second bike there and I just got right back on and went. I will say it's different. In my head, I was like, nope, we're good. It's whatever. It's just a wreck. Get it out of your head and let's go. And then you come up to the same spot and you're definitely a little on edge, a little for me anyway. Some people just wiped off and move on. I got a friend or two like that. But for me, it's I mean, it takes some.
It can be hard to get it out of your head.
Yeah. Effort to make sure you're not focusing on it.
Did you analyze what happened to create the crash?
Yeah.
As the tip suggests.
I do actually think both times I did. The second time was a really difficult analyzation because I don't know. I went down, didn't feel like I should have gone down. I've kind of talked to you about this off scene a little bit and maybe even on here a little bit, but it's on my Aprilia. I was like, what happened? It was low speed. I was off camber. Okay. But it just felt like the bike was just gone. No grip, gone. And everything suggested and everyone told me it was probably my tires. They probably weren't warm enough, grippy enough, whatever it was, which was weird. The only reason I wasn't like sold on that is because I had done like one slow lap, a second kind of warm up lap. This is my first time riding this bike on the track, right? So I wasn't just warming up tires. I was warming up myself, the bike, a new track to me that day. Like all these things are new. And so I was taking my sweet time warming up, and it wasn't until my fourth lap that I had that crash. And I wasn't even necessarily taking it that much quicker. So, but put new tires on the bike, went to a different track, felt fine. So evidence shows probably the tires. Not to just blame it on that. I'm sure there's things I could have done better also, but
it's always the tires.
Yeah. It's just the tires. Analyze X, Y, Z. Those are all three of those are tires. And that's what it is every time.
No, it is. That's a good tip. Sometimes it's hard to know what happened exactly, especially in the heat of the moment. If you're lucky, maybe somebody gets it on video so you can go back and analyze it that way. Sometimes that can tell some of the story. Also, well, don't be that guy that always blames the bike.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times I feel like it's hard at lower levels. It's going to be hard to blame the bike, truly. Unless you have a mechanical failure, you're the one putting input there, right? Yeah. Like a computer, the bike's not going to do something you don't want it to do.
You were on an Aprilia, and I hear those things happen.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
We'll dig into that. Spoiler alert for our own show. I think it's easy to pick something on the bike. It's more important to think about what you were actually doing. And that's what's hard about it, is that you've got the adrenaline going, you're going nuts, you're trying to get back out there, you're riding again. By the end of the day, when you finally calm down, you're like, okay, what actually happened? You might not even remember. Also, like, with how much your blood's pumping and everything, like, being able to get into your brain in that moment, when you wrecked in that moment, it's going to be really difficult. So it can be hard. I mean, the newer bikes with other electronics, lap timers that are tapped into everything and anything. I mean, if you're a data guy, you could look at the data and probably figure it out pretty easy. Like, oh, well, I had a throttle right here and then I spun out. Maybe that was too much throttle, too much lean or whatever. So,
right. Or if your friendly neighborhood track star ran into you, that makes it obvious.
I think that's blaming the bike. It was your fault. Anyway, thanks for the tip, Josh. Agree. John. Definitely important to analyze it, figure it out, but also important to get back on and at least keep riding and not spend too much time away. So anyway, weekly riding tip done. Where do you want to start? We had a MotoGP weekend. We had a World Superbike weekend.
And a Supercross weekend.
We had a MotoGP weekend. We had a Superbike weekend. World Superbike.
And a Supercross weekend.
I can do this all day. Okay. Segue. We got 15 seconds for Cole to give you the rundown on Supercross.
I was unable to make Easton watch Supercross this week because he was busy with the
10 seconds.
Aforementioned MotoGP and motocross. And I'm sorry, my time's up.
Your time is up. All right.
The Australian didn't win.
What?
The Australian didn't win. Cooper Webb won. And they were asking about arm pump. And
dang arm pump.
And it's not PG to tell you what he said his arm felt like after the race.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. There's a lot of non-PG stuff going on over in the Supercross world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's been a show. All right.
All right.
Sweet. What y'all came here for, since Easton, I cannot get him over the fence to.
No, see, when a racer buys a dirt bike, he's going to race it. So when a race watcher watches Supercross, he's going to watch it. So I can't get into that. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, let's start with World Superbike.
World Superbike. Well, what's that shirt you're wearing there, Cole?
Oh, I dusted off the old BMW shirt.
Any reason for that? Maybe
because not so much BMW, but so much Top Rack.
Top Rack. How do you say that last name?
Razgagliagu.
That's pretty good, actually. Now that I'm like looking at the spelling, I feel like you're just saying Razgagliaglu, but then I look at the spelling, I'm like, well, it is just anyway.
Oh man, we had a World Superbike race this week. Man, I am loving this season. World Superbike is good. World Superbike is exciting. The Super Pole race. Any of you MotoGP watchers out there that don't really watch Superbike, maybe take a chance. Go over there and at least watch that Super Pole. It's a 10-lap shootout, similar to the sprint. They are racing for new grid positions for their second race of the weekend. And wow, it was a lot of changes through the top 10 riders. They were shuffling, battles all over the field. But the most important thing to come out of the weekend is he proved it. He did it. Top Indeed. Rack. So for those that don't know, on a World Superbike weekend, you have a race on Saturday. You have a Super Pole on Sunday morning and then a final race on Sunday. So,
right. And as you mentioned, sorry to interrupt, but as you mentioned, you qualify for the race on Saturday and the Super Pole is points, but also dictates your spot in the race on Sunday. So your spot can change throughout the weekend, which is kind of cool. We've discussed that before a little bit. It's different. It's cool. I like it because it changes things up. It makes it feel like an actual different.
I love race. It for them. I don't want MotoGP to ever do it.
Yeah.
That's my feeling on it.
Yeah. I feel like the only downfall we ever found or talked about was if you wreck, then, you know, you could have qualified first and gotten knocked over by, you know, your local track superstar guy, which was definitely your fault. And then now you're starting in last place or second to last, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
Right. So this track is traditionally a Ducati track. BMWs are known to have tire problems. This is a track that eats tires. It's always a struggle for them. And so I don't think anybody had real high hopes for BMW. I know I'm always trying to make this the BMW show, but it's historical and it's important. Maybe you can get over there and start looking when the last time they won a race was, because I can't remember the year. But
I can do that.
But coming into the weekend, Top Rack got the pole. And I don't think that really surprised anybody, because then BMW's got speed. He can put together a good one lap for sure. But he did get the pole. Going into the first race. Yeah, before you were born, probably, right?
Not quite. Real close, though. Only a couple years off. So the first line I saw was actually real surprising. I was like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So it says 902 days ago, the Tissot Super Pole race at Portimao in 2021. So they did win a Super Pole 3 years ago in 2021. But their last feature-length race win...
04? 03?
No, 2013.
Oh, that's what I meant. 4 plus 3 minus a 1 is 13. That's what I meant.
Yeah, nice. I like that math but there.
That's still a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's 11 years ago.
And BMW has brought in big riders. I mean, Top Rack's not the first big rider they brought in to try to prove that their bike was, you know, deserved to be there. Mm-hmm. But, man, that guy. Like I said, for anybody listening at home that thinks I'm just a BMW fanboy, I've been a Top Rack, which I kind of am, but I've been a Top Rack fan when he was on the Yamaha. I've been watching him for years. Always rooting for the guy. He's just amazing to watch on a bike. And seems to be a super nice guy, down to earth. All his fellow riders, competitors, they all have great things to say about him. But
if you go look up videos of Top Rack breaking.
Yes.
We've said that before. The dude's got talent.
The guy's insane. So huge question marks, huge question marks for BMW bringing him over, because again, it's not the first time they brought over a star rider,
right?
To try to make that bike successful. But he came over, and you know, last week he put it on the podium in the first race. Excuse me, he finished in fourth, I believe it was the first race. Put it on the podium in the Super Pole, and then blew it up on Sunday. The actual bike had a mechanical. But he showed that he could run at the top, and it's not just the improvements from the bike, in my opinion. I'm sure the bike is getting better, and I'm sure he's going to help them make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else in the first week was – all the other three BMW riders were pretty much nowheresville. But Toprak just wheeled it to the front. And this week, he finished the week not only winning one race, but he won the first race. He won the mm-hmm. Super Pole, mm-hmm. and he finished third on the podium in the third race of the weekend. What an amazing weekend for BMW.
Yeah, what's with that Ducati rider punching his windshield, though?
That's because he wore his tire out, and he's a rookie. And
I just watched the highlights, like, honestly, a few minutes before this, because I don't pay for World Superbike to watch it. But I was watching the highlights, so I could be a little up to date, and because I wanted to see. And yeah, they come across the finish line, and here's this guy in a Ducati, and he just boom, and just punches his freaking breaks his freaking windshield.
Well, that's not the first time I've seen that even this year. MotoGP's had a couple people do that this year. I think it's what the cool kids are doing.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, remember,
if I had more money, I'd punch mine off too, but I don't want to replace it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you're the one paying. Well, that's what I was wondering, though. Like, they come back and the race team's like, that make you feel better? A little bit. Sweet, because you owe us $1,000. Like,
They should.
That's not, I mean, you didn't crash. It wasn't an accident. It was a very on purpose. You destroyed the bike. If I'm giving you a bike to ride and you could bring it home in perfectly good condition, or you don't need a new windshield, unless they like put out a memo or they're like, hey, we get new windshields every week, so go ahead and do whatever you want at the end of the race. We don't need them. Like,
do a burnout and run it into the wall when you're celebrating.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, that was a historical weekend. It honestly was a historical weekend, and I just mentioned how good of a guy Toprak is. He thanked his team, you know, like most of them do. I'm not saying he's special for that, but it was interesting some of the comments he made. He said how good the BMW was, and he said something along the lines of, for those of you that don't think this is a good bike, I'm showing you it is a very good bike.
All right, there you go.
But in the third race, there was some carnage in the race that, like there always is, that helped. But Vandermark was able to come up to fourth. Garrett Gerloff finished 10th, and Redding was the 11th. So okay. They would have pushed a little bit more. They could have had all four in the top 10. So there's definitely some improvements happening over there on the bike, not just the riders, but I give a lot of that credit, obviously, to Toprak. That's obvious.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, there's the other side of it, too, is if you bring a high-quality rider in that can give feedback to the team, you know, how much can that help out the other riders? Not to, like, downplay the other rider's talent or anything, but maybe how you're riding the bike, how you see it, you just aren't able to find those little things, and someone else. It also just a new face in general, honestly. Right. You think about it, come in, see something, be like, well, can we change this and this? And they're like, yeah, we can. We never thought about that. So,
yeah. Well, and sorry to any Redding fans that might be out there, but Redding is the BMW gentleman I told you about that, you know, sometimes just parks the bike because he can do no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's, with the exception of him, so last year he was on the factory team with Vandermark, mm-hmm. and they hated each other, so they wouldn't talk over the weekend during, right before qualifying. The world feed showed Toprak. I mean, they had to go right back out, and Toprak ran over to Vandermark's side of the garage in his leathers and said, hey, he's like, when I was following you, you're losing a lot of time right here. You need to speed it up. Follow me next time. I mean, those guys always celebrated. They, you know, when Top Rack, they're always finding each other on the track afterwards, congratulating each other. They're working well together.
Right. So, that's good.
On the other side, just to not make it an all BMW show, the Ducatis are still weapons, man. They had to add weight to the bike this year. I believe there's been some RPM changes across the board trying to make other bikes competitive. But it's interesting to me. The reason I wanted to go here is so all the Ducatis are fast. I mean, Petrucci's out there on a satellite bike going fast. Iannone's out there on a Ducati going fast. Mm-hmm. You have Lowe's.
Alex Lowe's. Okay.
Sam.
Is it Sam Lowe's? I thought so.
I got him confused. Sam Lowe's from Moto2. He's been in Moto2 for years. He's moved over there now. He's on a satellite Ducati. And all those bikes have potential. All those bikes are running up front. And it's interesting to me that in MotoGP.
It is Alex Lowe's.
I was right the first time.
Yeah.
So in MotoGP, we all know the Japanese bikes are suffering. But they're concept bikes, right? They're prototype bikes. They're and so maybe one could make the argument that, you know, in that end of the scheme, maybe those guys are struggling. But when you go to World Superbike, it's the same story. It's the same story over there. The European bikes are just handing it to them. The Yamahas, the Kawis, they can't. The Hondas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Hondas are just absolutely terrible. And
yeah, the beloved super expensive pirate bike that's supposed to be. It's a triple R SP.
Yeah, that had a lot of off-season changes that everybody speculated was directly related to trying to fix their World Superbike program.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got former MotoGP rider Lacaona is riding one of them. I might have said his name wrong, but he had a terrible weekend. Honda had a terrible weekend. It's just interesting that they're struggling on both sides of the fence.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's to put it in perspective, manufacturer standings, World Superbike, Ducati, 105 points, BMW, 79, Kawasaki, 75, Yamaha, 57, Honda, 14.
Nice.
A tenth of what Ducati has.
Yeah, kind of like MotoGP, they have a tenth as many bikes.
I mean, that is something that the hard part about looking at the manufacturer standings is how many bikes they have. But also, I mean, if you're fielding the best bike, more people are going to want to ride it. And like, that's just how it is. But yeah, I think the biggest thing I've heard, and I want to say we've talked about it, but it's just the emissions. And I don't know what's causing the Japanese to not be able to keep up with the emissions. I don't know if that's just an inline four thing in general, that you just can't build a competitive inline four engine anymore and still maintain emissions control. And that's why they're all dying off. I don't know. But
well, there's people all over, you know, podcasts, forums, you name it. They're always speculating that the Japanese bike struggled worse with COVID. You know, you hear the MotoGP announcers say it, you hear World Superbike announcers say it, that COVID hit Japan harder than it hit other places, and they couldn't get parts in and they couldn't get parts out. And
so they're effectively chalking it up to 2 years of no progression. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see where that's coming from, but I don't buy it. I don't.
Not sure. I mean, it's an easy buyout. It's an easy excuse.
I don't buy it because you know I work with a lot of Europeans.
Yeah,
and I know how devastating COVID was to them.
Yeah, how freaking hard it was for literally most of the world to get parts in and out. And I don't know. I mean, half of our stuff comes from over there. So it's a little weird. But I don't know. I've never built a race bike or a bike really at all. I always just rebuild other people's that are already built. So anyway, is that everything you had for World Superbike for this week?
Well, to finish the thoughts, like I said, the Bulega is Batista's partner or teammate this year.
Beluga. The Beluga whale. Yeah.
Bulega. He's the new rider they brought up from their super sport class.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing awesome. It looked like he was going to do awesome. He's the Mark Vinales of World Superbike. He's the champion of testing. I think he won every test. And everybody was interested to see how that would go during a race.
Yeah, how it translates over.
Yeah, and he's had a few struggles, but he's leading the points. And he's done really well. And I don't see those Ducatis going anywhere. The Kawasaki with Lowe's he's looking relatively competitive. The Yamahas are nowhere. The Hondas are nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a betting man, which I am, that Kawasaki will continue to drop in the standings. The Ducatis will all rise to the front in this series, and hopefully BMW can stay up there fighting with them. But I don't think we've seen
Well, this year I'd say hopefully Toprak can stay up there fighting with them. No offense. Yeah.
Vandermark's up there in the points too, but
okay. Yeah, I'll give you that, I guess. He's got less than half of what the top guy has, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, they'll be good. It'll be interesting. And you gotta say, the BMW guys, that's only their second race weekend with Toprak. So
that's true. Yeah.
So I would assume he's just gonna get better. You can make the same argument with the Beluga well, that, you know, he's a rookie on the bike, so he hasn't had any more time than anybody. But Ducati as a company, Batista is
it's Italian. You got it. If you shake your hand a little bit, it's Batista.
Batista is the 2-time champion, reigning. So I mean that. Obviously has figured out. So it's just going to be an interesting year because there's a lot of players over there.
A good year. Interesting in a good way. Worth watching.
Yeah. Take that to note yourself. You.
Hey, you know what I'm going to maybe pay a little bit more attention to this year?
Supercross.
Nope. Moto 2, man.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, well, you know, our boys may be doing something. Who knows?
Maybe. He said he's killing it. So far, he's killing it.
He's doing pretty good. So we're talking about Joe Roberts. He's the only American in – he's the highest level American racer right now in the MotoGP world, if you will.
Right.
But, good way of putting that. So he placed 7th last week or 2 weeks ago in Qatar, and then he placed 2nd this week, which is really good. Now, last year, I believe he did pretty well. The only reason I'm not like sold just yet is because I believe he likes this track a lot. But either way, something to cheer for. Having an American on the podium is great. I've got this low-key thought, maybe. I'm going to make a call that, you know, you're making calls all the time. BMW is going to MotoGP, all these big time calls or whatever. I'm going to say in the next 2 to 3 years, Joe Roberts is going to be on a Trackhouse Aprilia in MotoGP.
I'm going to say you're wrong.
Okay.
Let's do some history. Let's think back here.
You opened, he got offered a factory Aprilia seat.
He got offered a, and he spit in their face.
Uh-huh.
He turned it down.
Uh-huh.
May have been the biggest mistake he ever made.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know that they'll want to go there. I mean, there is that American connection. I know everybody's trying to connect him to that team already.
Yeah.
And
so actually I had that conversation with the wife. I was like, well, I say that because of the standard American team. They're going to want an American rider on it, blah, blah, blah. But I actually thought that, who knows what actually went on behind scenes between Aprilia and him, and who knows what they're doing still. And now that there is a little bit more drive there, got an American team, we've got an American rider, still on Aprilia. How do you feel about it now? Who knows?
So let me back you up on the history lesson a little bit more, though.
Okay.
So Joe Roberts started with the American Racing Team.
Correct.
And he had success. He had success. He looked good. He looked like he was the heir apparent. He was starting to come up. And when he got a little big for his britches, they decided he took a job with Italatrans.
Yeah, that was the same year that, because that was, he got the offer from Aprilia, right? Turned them down, went the other way. So he said, I'm not done here yet. I still think I can win.
Yeah, but he thought he needed a better bike. But he gelled well with the American Racing Team. I don't think he ever gelled that well with that other team. And yep. He had his little reunion. He's gone back, and things seem to be clicking. So hopefully they maintain that. Hopefully he has a great week in Austin. He was excited about it after the race. He said, I don't know if you watched his post-race, but he said, I hope all you American fans have got your tickets because I'm excited to see you in Austin.
Good deal. I didn't see that, but that's what I was going to say effectively is we've got an American that's showing some promise, doing some good things so far. And I mean, if there's any track that he's going to do well on this year, it should be home. So generally, at least.
Here's your other problem. Google, how old is he? I'm sorry. I don't want to misspeak. You're the one that said I couldn't make up stuff.
Joe Roberts is 92 years old. Joe Roberts, the rugby union player?
No, he's not. He's a spring 20, chicken.
He's 26.
Yeah.
He's born in 97.
So that's not old, but let's be honest, when they start hitting that 30 mark, most riders are trying to kick him out about that point. So he's only got 4 years left, so that might start to hinder him. You know, 2 years ago when Aprilia was looking at him, he was 24.
Yeah, had a while. Yeah. I will say, though, the MotoGP grid is not like a super young grid anymore at the moment.
Doesn't feel like it, does it?
You got Pedro, who feels like a baby out there with them all. And then you're getting all these other guys. I mean, not too many over 30, but there's not that many far away from it either. So
yeah, most of them. I mean, Jack, even Pecco. Fabio is considered a young rider, and he's been doing this as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Seems like Fabio's been racing forever, but he's still one of the younger guys.
Yep. So anyway, the moral of that whole tangent is Joe Roberts is doing things. He's on an American bike this year, you know, the OnlyFans American Racing Team bike. I love that OnlyFans comes before American, but whatever.
It didn't last year. They must have, they stepped up their game.
Yeah, well, they make so much money, they got to put it somewhere. So I don't mind it. Whatever. More money to racing works for me. But they'll be in Texas, and if he's got high hopes for Texas, then we should too. So it'd be great. I'll definitely be paying a little bit more attention to that Moto2 race this year. And from what I've seen, or what I was looking at, is he's done pretty well in like practices and qualifying also. It's not just like randomly in the race he's doing all right. He's putting together some pretty respectable timesheets all over. So
no, he's doing good. I think that team has made some strides as well.
Yeah. Hopefully. All right. Well, shall we move on to the main event?
Yeah, but I've been contemplating this all day, how I'm gonna get through this with you because of the event that happened.
Okay, well, we're gonna get pump the brakes. We'll get to that. And there's not much to talk about there. So only warning.
There is a lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
Depending on your opinion.
So that's the issue, right? All right. Well, before we dig into that, we'll dig into that first thing. But before we do that, we got to announce the fantasy for the week.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm pretty happy about it. I went up three places.
I don't want to talk about it. To start this year.
Yeah.
I told you I don't like their fantasy setup.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't like their fantasy setup. I played it last year, maybe the year before as well. And I just don't like the setup because it's too, for us lazy Americans, maybe it's easier. I don't know. You can just technically, you can put a team in and forget about it if you want to, right?
That's what I did last year.
Which, not to keep bringing up Grid Rivals because I'm mad at them still, but Grid Rivals was different in the way that you could only put a rider in for so many races, and then it booted them, and they had to take a week off before you could put them back in. You still had the money to deal with, but you were choosing, what, five riders? So you had...
Yeah, I think so.
You had five riders on there all the time. You could star a certain rider, similar to the boost, but it just felt like it took a lot more interaction. You had to get in there and
switch. Yeah, you had to check your lineup. You know, like, you actually had to log in and be involved.
Yeah, but I looked at this at the beginning of the year, you know, when we to put that first lineup in. Mm-hmm. And if you were anywhere near creative, you know, you could put Pecco Bagnaia and Jorge Martin as your top riders. And then you could...
Oh, no wonder you're doing so bad. Wow.
Yeah, so I looked at it and I said, you know what? I'm going to take some serious chances. And this is either going to blow up or it's going to be awesome. And it blew up, and it totally blew up the first week, and I thought, you know what?
I'm going to leave it.
Dice.
And it'll
roll those dice one more time, and it blew up again.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do just like the rest of y'all. I'm going to put in the obvious people that are going to win, and I'm going to boost the crap out of them, and I'm going to jump right to the top of the charts for Austin.
All right. I will say that one of my people has gotten me like 0 points every single week so far. So
who is it?
Ralph Fernandez.
Oh, good hell. Fire that guy.
Well, the issue is he loses money and then I can't afford anyone better. So that's the hard part. But yeah. Anyway.
So tell us about the fantasy. Tell us so we can still join. Go ahead.
The fantasy. Yeah. You can still join. It's not too late. We got a couple people that came in after round one. This was their first round, and they're about to pass Cole, so it's really not too late.
Some of them have.
No.
I can name one, the sixth place guy.
He had his lineup in, though.
But it didn't score any points for the first week.
That's not true.
That's not true?
No.
Oh, man.
It brought his points over. Yeah, sorry.
I'm a knuckle sandwich, that guy. He lied to me just yesterday then.
All right. Well, anyway, but this week's highest point scoring member.
Duke. Is it Duke?
Actually, it's going to be Kelly OJ.
What? With how many points? Let me double check you.
153 from last GP points.
Duke was at 147.
Yep, Duke is pretty close second at 147.5 from Canada, but that is Kelly OJ from the USA. So hit us up on JK Moto Podcast on Instagram. Send us a DM with your information. And if you get with us, we'll get that sent over. You are the highest point scorer for the week. Also in second to last place, but that's okay. That's the great part about our fantasy league is that you don't have to win.
This is true.
So, and there have been.
You're saying I still have a shot.
Yeah, You do. And so does anyone else that wants to join. So join up. You can still win every week or a week out of the whatever week. Anyway.
There will be prizes.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so some people have kind of moved around. I moved up. I think Duke might have moved up. Definitely some big, that's some big points. And it doesn't look like anyone else used their boost this week. So that is the fantasy for this week. Abilino Goosey is still taking first. Duke is in second. And then Vienna Racing Team out of Spain is, oh, sorry, Jobert 2003. That's me. Am in third. So
what?
Yeah, man, I moved up from sixth to third. That's why I'm so, like, pumped over here about this. Dude, I scored 142 points. I'm doing great. And that's with a rider that didn't even freaking ride, so. All right.
That guy's so fired.
Yeah, well, where do you think Joe Roberts is going to get his ride from?
Well, I think there's going to be, there might, there's going to, yeah. There's going to be at least two open seats at Aprilia. At least.
Yep. Yeah. To segue into that, once again, real quick, on the fantasy note, Kelly OJ, reach out to us on Instagram. We'll get that sent over. But to segue from that straight over, talking about Aprilia and the two seats being open, Miguel Oliveira kind of been letting me down this year. And this, you know, this was his home track, and I know he's got some bad blood here from last year and whatever else, but
bad blood because of that guy. Yeah, that guy we got to talk about later.
That guy. We'll get into an incident. We're holding out. If you guys are here for the incident, scroll forward about 20 minutes. We'll be there.
So, Miguel Oliveira, God bless him. He's done.
You think so? Lost it?
He's too inconsistent. I mean, that's why KTM didn't want him anymore. I mean, the guy's won races. The guy's proven that he can ride with anybody out there. But yeah. But if it ain't raining.
Yeah.
He just, I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, he's dealt with some injuries. He's, you know, one of those from, you know, the incident last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some lingering issues, but he's just too inconsistent.
I don't think he's aggressive enough, man. Every time that guy gets on an interview, he's like, yeah, well, we're going to ride the bike. I mean, last year he actually came up, I don't remember what it was, but they were like not doing an interview. They were in between some interviews and it was just the announcer guy just kind of talking for a little bit. And he just walked up. He's like, hey, can I talk to you for a bit? And guy's like, yeah, actually it'd be great. We'd love to, no, not just my random face. We'd love to talk to you. So he's like, okay. Yeah, I just had some things I wanted to say, and then just kind of like talked. But he's super like soft spoken and whatever. I'm not trying to talk a bunch of crap on the guy. No, it was just
That's a guy I definitely don't root against, but I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah,
and so to know, let's just talk about Aprilia's weekend.
Okay,
can we start?
That sounds
there?
Great. Yeah.
So if I'm not mistaken, part of the track house contract, it took them a little longer to get their bikes because they wanted 2024s.
Correct. They are on factory bikes.
So the way MotoGP technically works, they were on 22s last year. They should have moved to 23s this year, but they skipped the 23s, went right to the 24s.
Yep. So they wanted the top of the line.
Yeah. In theory, they got the big horsepower, nice bikes. They're trying to put a team together. I'm sure there's all sorts of struggles potentially in the garage, organizational and all those kind of things. So I don't want to get too hard on them just yet, but Raul is terrible. He's got a terrible attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he has for years. I mean, ever since he got booted from that other team. I mean, he called himself the people's champion. Nope.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're not going to let that go on anymore. That guy's got to turn some stuff around in a big, big hurry or he's gone. And
I agree.
I don't see it happening. Miguel Oliveira, he might stay just for some stability in the team, but if he don't show any stability, then that makes no sense either. So I could see both of those guys getting cut. Now let's move to the factory team. All sorts of rumors about Aleix retiring.
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps up the performance he's done this year. I mean, he won a sprint. It looked like he was ready to set the world on fire and go back to 2022 when he was competing for the championship. That ain't going to happen with the performances he's putting up right now.
No. But that's what we've kind of always talked about. And it's the same with the last one, Top Gun. And Top Gun had a great weekend.
Had a great weekend.
All things said, it's a slight hiccup on the last lap.
A big hiccup.
Yeah, I never actually fully figured out what that was. I don't know if anyone did yet.
I did.
All right, what do you got?
They announced it was a transmission failure.
Okay, so it was a mechanical.
It was a mechanical, something to do with the transmission. He said, but the interview with him was so funny to me. My better half always says they should let the writers speak in their native tongue,
mm-hmm.
and then just translate it or whatever, so that we know what they're really trying to say.
Right.
Because perfect example, Maverick Vinales said it was a great weekend. You know, everything was good. He's glad he's not injured, but the Aprilia needs to grow up. And if it takes breaking a transmission for the guys back home at Aprilia to grow up, those are the words they used. Grow up.
So be it. Okay.
And I don't want to put more words in his mouth, but I assume that's not exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he meant take it more serious, or maybe he meant, you know, if you want to be at a professional level, you need to. But the way he said just grow up, I cringed a little bit because I was like, wow, that's rough. I mean, you have to see the interview, man. It was rough. They need to grow up.
Okay. I'll have to go back and watch. I was watching for a while. I left the TV on, but I wasn't super paying attention, so I might have just missed it or came by a little bit later. So I left it on specifically because I was like, okay, I got to figure out the incident later that we'll still get to. And then also what happened to Maverick, because, I mean, he's sitting there in second place right behind Jorge, ready, but like he was pulling up. Everyone was kind of pulling up. Jorge was also slingshotting himself out of there, but
that race wasn't over.
No. And he could have had something. And then what made me think it was probably a bike failure was that Bastianini passed him on the straight before the start finish. Cause they're like, did he think it was the last lap and he had just won the race? I'm like, no, cause he got passed before he got there. And no racer's going to do that on the, even if they think it's the last lap. So
that was weak from the announcers. I think that was weak from the announcers. They started saying that almost immediately. Did he think it was the last lap?
Yeah, like him and Aleix are the same person.
Yeah. First off, he's not Aleix. Second off, it was pretty obvious he stuck his leg out.
Yeah.
Was looking down at the bike
two
or three different times. And then, you know, I was trying to figure out, I didn't know, I thought maybe the damn brake lever fell off or something because the way he went off track.
Yeah, it was weird. If you can find those highlights, I would recommend going and watching that if you haven't seen the race. If you watch the race, you know what we're talking about, and I went over it several times. But yeah, it was nuts. I mean, everything pulled for bike failure, which obviously now we know that that's what it was. But
that was the most violent slow speed high side I've ever seen. It was like him trying to replicate Mark Martin in slow motion. Mark Marquez. That was pretty violent for how slow he was going.
It was bad. Yeah, because I mean, he came super wide out in the dust, and then it looked like if it had been a personnel failure, looked like he freaking ripped it while also stomping the brake at the same time, and then just launched himself up. But he was only doing, well, I don't know what speed, but it not very fast because he had gone wide, slowed all the way down, and not go out. And
The bike was violent, and then he was on the ground like in an instant. Just
yep. So the funniest part for me, and I like Maverick. I think he brings some stuff out there that's good. Brings a little bit of competition here and there, and it's been nice to see Aprilia, KTM, and Ducati kind of all up there doing some stuff. But when he won the sprint, the announcers were cracking me up because they're like, this is it. He did it. He finally did it. This is what Aprilia has been waiting for. They took that bet 2 years ago when he had the whatever with Yamaha, and he finally delivered. This is the year that they've been waiting for. This is the Maverick that they know that they took the gamble on, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, he won a sprint, one singular sprint. Calm down.
See,
he's just not consistent. I apologize, but he's not consistent enough for me to just get all freaking crazy happy about it right off the bat like that. No way.
Correct. But I was laughing more about the fact that they had spent so much time talking about how much weight he had lost, how sick he was. And then nobody said anything when his sweaty ass was hugging the whole team and everybody else's teams. And I was like, oh, they're all done. It's a good thing they got 3 weeks off before Austin. Yeah. 'Cause they're
all of them next in Austin. All riders have lost 10 pounds over the last 3 weeks.
He was even wearing a mask the day before.
Wow. Well,
they interviewed him and he was wearing a mask, and then he comes off with the win, and
it's fine. At that point, you sweat it all out, and so it's gone.
Victory sweat is different.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Aleix and Maverick. It's sad for Maverick. Like you said, that race wasn't over for him, and I don't know that he would have won it, but he would have been in second, and that would have been a great weekend for him. So, once again, Aprilia has got some technical issues. Can't say I disagree with him on the, you know, they need to grow up. Grow up, Aprilia. But anyway. All right, moving on. Is it time for the incident, or do you want to talk about KTM?
No, so my last thought on Aprilia is, my whole lead up was, again, the track house bike, mm-hmm. both those riders could be gone. The factory team, both those riders could be gone. We could see an entirely new lineup in Aprilia next year.
Yeah, from Honda and Yamaha.
Yeah. Well, everybody on a Honda or Yamaha will all fight each other for those bikes. So there's no shortage 100%. Of riders that would be happy to hop on one of those.
Yep.
But that's all I wanted to finish with Aprilia. But we don't have We don't have to go straight to the incident. Let's pick on some more riders since we're being jerks today.
Okay.
Morbidelli.
Oh, we don't need to pick on him. We talked about him. He was going to come up in the incident.
He was?
Yeah. Post-incident, someone still passed him and finished before him.
Oh, so. Well, you've seen, though. I mean, what was that, the second lap?
I don't remember when it was. But yeah,
Morbidelli crashes. Boom. Like that dude. I don't know what happened to him. Great guy. But they need to. Yeah, there's got to be ways to get out of contracts in the middle of the season.
The only issue I have with it is he's taking a factory bike.
Yeah, from somebody that could use it and make it more exciting at the front.
Yep. So like Jorge Martin's not on the factory team, but he's on a factory bike. Calm down.
Sorry.
Not on the factory team, but he's on a factory bike. And what do you know? He's out there acting like he's on the factory team and trying to prove something, and has a shot of setting a record of being the first person to ever win on a satellite team, to win a championship on a satellite team. So it would be great to have another high caliber rider right there next to him and have four extremely talented people on the four best bikes on the grid. But here we are.
So we got Morbidelli covered. Now let's save the incident a little bit more. What's the take on Pedro this week?
All right, so I have to say, last week I said he's a rookie and he made some rookie mistakes and he did some rookie things. And I was reading some people's comments on that, mostly on our title of our video. And I stand by what I said, 100%. He can say what he wants about the fact that he was up there and he'd trade that all day, and that's great. Glad he would trade it all day. The experience of riding with the top dudes for, you know, having a higher place finish and burning his tires out. I'm still not sold on him being the king and the crazy and the whatever, but I don't think I was talking too much bad last week. So I don't think I can get shamed too much for turning around and saying that he is in fact doing pretty good. But I will stand by what I said, that I think he went for it last week, burned through his tires way too quick. And this week it looked like he figured that out, managed it a little better, and was able to push and do pretty well. So
He proved what this week. He proved what I said last week. I think that the reason I didn't think he was going to burn his tires out, or in the back of my mind, I had a doubt that he was actually going to burn the tires out, was watching him through Moto 3, Moto 2. The guy can, it doesn't matter. He doesn't need tires.
Yeah, he can just ride. One of those weird godly people.
Yeah, and this week, I think he absolutely made his tires suffer more than a lot of the riders out there, but they still seem to be there for him at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that is hard to grasp and hard to understand, because sometimes it feels like that. Like, there's sometimes where random people will just beat the crap out of their tires the entire race, and then still be perfectly fine at the end, where someone else, like, whatever. But then they also, what's his nuts? Freaking tech guy, Simon Crafar, has been on and on this year, and at the end of last year, but especially this year, his big thing is, like, heating up the front tire. For riders, mm-hmm. you'll watch him back off to make sure that front tire doesn't get too hot to save it. So if someone goes from, like, being right on someone's tail, they're not able to pass them within a lap or two, you'll see them back off to up to a half second. It's not necessarily because they're slower. It's because they're backing off to get that tire to cool down. Now, what's weird is that your announcers, your commentators don't really know that or don't key into that very well, because they'll be like, oh, he just set this best lap, blah, blah, blah. He's got to be catching back up. He's going to take that gap down. Then Simon comes up. He's like, well, he had that gap on purpose. Like, everyone knows that. So anyway, if you listen to Simon and you believe all that, which is probably true, he's raced before. He's got a lot of that. He's the tech guy for a reason. He knows that stuff. And so he gets that information from him. But it makes it so interesting and, like, lets me know how little I know about MotoGP and their tires and the tire wear. So anyway, Pedro, great guy to keep watching out for. He's got till Germany to set a record for youngest MotoGP winner ever. Yeah, I will say he has shown a little bit of rookie side for sure. He's also shown a lot of maturity, and he's riding pretty good. And he's obviously he's got talent. Like, no one can deny that, because you could say that he showed some rookie last week or 2 weeks ago by burning through his tires, but he was still able to ride up with all those guys and pass them all. And that's not easy, whether or not you're willing to throw your tires out the window. So,
and most importantly for him, that's another race he finished, even though there were times his bike was moving around in ways that I thought he might not.
Yeah. Yeah. The front end sliding, back end sliding, and the whole thing's freaking bucking and bronking. And he's just like, yeah, it's fine. They showed it.
Race he got maximum experience out of.
Yeah.
Got to run with he's running with the top guys. He's learning them.
Yeah, 100%.
He ain't learn nothing from Morbidelli, so he might as well be up there.
I agree. No, he's doing great things.
But he beat both the factory KTM bikes.
He did.
This week.
That was the key.
Again, does not bode well for Jack, even though Jack had a much better weekend. He was helped out by the incident on his positioning there, but yeah, so was a lot of people.
The pilot himself.
Yeah, but hopefully it'll be interesting. Jack usually does all right in Austin. Hopefully they can continue to make the improvements that he's promising. And of course, you know, I'm a Jack fan, so
yeah,
he does.
Yeah, I mean,
the sport. I'm sorry, but it's you know how much I love watching the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part of the weekend, the press conferences. And they're just not quite as good without Fabio. Even made them fun. But we don't get Fabio up there. We don't get Jack Miller up there anymore. It would be nice to see them guys start succeeding so they can get a little more camera time, because they're some of the better characters in the paddock.
I agree with that. Yep. Anyway, to wrap up KTM, I think that all three of the KTM riders that are worth watching are worth watching this year. Hopefully Jack can kind of keep his head on him, keep going. I don't need Jack to win a championship. I just need him to go break it up more than once every 10 races. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, agreed.
So, but to take it from a 1 in 10 shot to like a 4 or 5 in 10 shot, and I'll be pretty happy this year with Jack. So, and then Brad and Acosta I need the KTMs to work together to go break up the Ducatis and then fight each other. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be the two Ducatis at the front fighting, and then a second back, the two KTMs fighting, and not breaking each other up. I want all four of them up there just going nuts. So
agreed. Anyway, that was a KTM on KTM battle there for a while.
It was, yeah, on KTM, all three of them.
Gas. It's a gas.
Yeah, whatever. Same bike.
So then Yamaha had a pretty good showing, honestly.
For them, yes. Yep.
Well,
yeah, a final finish of 7th and 13th. They both made it into Q2, though, which was impressive and good. That's an important step and a very good first step for a team of a slower bike, is to be able to secure yourself a decent qualifying position. And I've heard the announcers say it. I don't know that I believe it based off what I've seen, but Quartararo has said, if you can get me on the pole, I can hold it. And so he just needs Yamaha to give him a bike that can get him there in the time attack. And he says he can hold everyone back. So whether or not that's true, I don't know.
I don't think he's going to be able to prove it. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to prove it.
Not this year, but they've got the testing, and they're making some moves. Honda claims to be making moves, but
yeah, you got to just touch on Honda before we get to the incident. They have not. I know they say they've done great things with the bike or whatever.
Yeah,
but we can try to make arguments for Luca Marini and say that he's new on the bike. But I can't make that same argument for Joan Mir, world champion that cannot drive that bike.
Yeah,
Nakagami can't go anywhere. Joan Zarco is their brightest spot, who didn't get to show it this week.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, the bike is, that's a good word. Honda is not the place to be right now. And apparently they're making improvements. Also, the biggest thing I saw from HRC Instagram post was that their race pace is top 10 worthy. Now it's about qualifying. But I was like, that's a hell of a thing to say. Woohoo, we're top 10 worthy. Coming from being the top bike since...
So not to go way back, but philosophy time. Hello. Okay. Welcome to Philosophy Corner with Cole. You can make a bubble. So one of the things lots of people say that is that the bikes, the rider is less important nowadays. It pains me to say this. It pains me to say this to you. But when Mark Marquez was on a Honda just last year, with one broken arm, shattered everything, there's a chance he's putting the damn thing on pole. There's a chance he's running in the top four until he crashes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all bad in the end, but there's a chance that guy was putting that bike up front. Mm-hmm. There is zero chance right now that bike is anywhere in the top 15. And going back to World Superbike, what I said earlier, I can make that same argument. BMW has been struggling, and you bring this phenom top rack in there, and they pop off with wins all of a sudden. The rider is still important in both of those classes. Absolutely. It's not, and I could even... Mark needs some more time, but him on the Ducati doesn't absolutely make him win. There's still some good riders out there he's got to beat.
Yeah.
He's not just magically winning because he's Mark. So, I mean, there's some truth both ways, but I think this is showing us how important riders still are.
I agree 100%. Yeah. I agree. There are definitely still some people out there. And that's like, almost going back to the Miguel Oliveira, though, too, is, you know, how much does the person want it? I mean, these guys, Joan Mir, he's won a championship. He's sitting on a factory bike, got to be making some good money. I can't speak for him, but.
But if you want to have a future making that kind of money, at some point you got to show something, I would think.
Yeah, but right now it's really easy to just kind of sit back and be like, yeah, the bike just, you know, can't do it. Yes. Can't do it.
It's true. Okay. So, let's get into the incident.
It is time. The philosophy corner we have passed. Woo. Moving into incident corner. Whatever that means. Oh, the incident. All right. Well,
whose fault is it?
No one's.
Okay. The incident. I'm sorry. You were going to explain the incident. Go ahead. What happened today? What happened?
Everyone was racing great, doing some things. Some people bumped into some people passed some people, close, whatever, all good. Got it. I'm not going to say it's either person's fault, and I'm going to give you an argument for why it could be either person's fault, and then that'll be my reasoning for why I'm not going to blame it on either person. But Mark Marquez was behind Bagnaia for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I want to say fourth and fifth place. So it was after... Fifth and sixth. Should have been fourth and fifth. After Acosta passed him. Pedro passed both of them. And now gotcha. Mark said, because Bagnaia had slowed way down, to be honest. Bagnaia kind of, like, as soon as Acosta got past him, he just slowed down. And from the look of it, Mark was like, okay, I'm not, there's no need for this. I can get past that. In my head, I was trying to figure out what he's doing in his head, as we all do. And I was like, he's seeing this gap. He's getting on him. He's going to pass him, and then he's probably going to say, that's enough for this weekend. I'll take a fourth. It's better than last weekend, and we'll be good to go. Whatever. Passes Pecco on the inside of a turn, double apex turn. Pretty decent pass. I thought it was reasonably clean, especially for Mark. He's done some pretty whatever stuff in the past. If you know him, you know him.
Pretty
clean pass, right?
It was clean.
Comes in, double apex, so you hit your first apex, then you sink to the outside, and then you come back for the second. He sinks to the outside. Here comes Pecco on the inside of him. He comes back in for his second apex, runs right in inside of Pecco, runs into him hard enough because he was coming over fast enough that it knocks both of them out, essentially. That's all over the highlights. It's the talk of the week. It's the big, it's Mark Marquez.
It'll be the talk of the next 3 weeks.
Probably. Well, yeah, at least. Probably the next half the season. If Pecco wasn't doing anything anyway. And so... That I saw a quote from Mark, and Mark said something along the lines of, that was a very risky move for 2 points. And that made me kind of second guess, because I knew we were going to film tonight. I knew you're not a Mark fan. I am. And I knew this was going to come up, and this was going to be our big talk, and it was going to be, it's freaking Mark's fault, right? So I'm sitting here in my head like, well, how do I say it's not? Because realistically, he came over on top of him and then hit him and knocked them both out. If you look at it from that side, 100% his fault. If you look at it from the, it's racing and it happens, then it's no one's fault. But if you look at it from that aspect of, it was two freaking points, Pecco could have easily not dove in the inside of him in the middle of the corner. So that would be my reasoning for being Pecco's fault. Shouldn't have been there. On the other hand, I'm trying to think about where their eyes are. And if you're doing a double apex, you're coming out. Do you see that bike before you dive back in?
So I don't have, I'm not just looking for something to blame Mark for, because I've watched it from so many different angles. I don't even know that I agree with what you said on Mark coming into him. In certain angles.
Okay.
In certain angles, I think he was. I mean, it's hard. It's hard from the different angles to see. It'd be easier to see from their helmet lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than trying to see. But I thought Pecco had all the right to do what he did, to move in. And I think Mark came back maybe not expecting him there.
Yeah.
Mark just passed. Who'd he pass last week? Just like that.
Jorge Martin.
Yeah, I mean... That Jorge Martin pass was way more aggressive than that Pecco pass was going to be. It's just 100%. Sometimes things happen.
Yeah.
And I know we joke about, I hope Mark never leaves the sport.
I hope he leaves the sport one day.
No, I don't root for him per se. I'm not a fan per se, but he makes it more exciting. I'm glad that he's there. But that being said, I don't know. I'm not blaming him. But the comment from him afterwards that you're leaving out, that maybe you didn't see, is they were in the trailer together for an hour, getting chastised.
Mm-hmm.
And when they interviewed Pecco afterwards, he said it was unfortunate and neither one of them thought there should be a penalty. And just his demeanor alluded to it was Mark's fault.
Right.
But he never said anything that it was Mark's fault. He just said things happen on the track, you know, whatever. Mark said, the quote that I mentioned you're leaving out, Mark said, oh yeah, Pecco knows what he did.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, if you go back and find that, he said, Pecco knows what he did. And that's the soundbite they picked up on now. But he says, Pecco knows what he did. And to me, that comment, we could maybe talk like earlier, is lost in translation. But to me, that comment meant, it's obvious. That's Pecco's fault. Pecco did it. Whatever. And I did see the comment you were talking about. He said he didn't expect to be fought that hard for 2 points based off of where they were.
Yeah.
And the point in the race and everything else. But
yeah,
I think it sucks. I think it sucks because both those guys, now they've got a bunch of points to make up.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I agree. It was a terrible incident. Neither of them were most likely going to go get on the podium anyway. And they could have, whatever. I don't blame Mark too much for making a pass because, like I said, Pecco slowed down a lot.
Agreed.
And if you've got the speed, which Mark did, he was showing the lap times, make the pass. But I don't really blame Pecco too much either for coming back through because I'm not going to let this guy who thinks he can still win a championship come up and pass me like that. I'm the freaking world champion. No freaking way, right? Like, I get it.
Yeah, they're getting paid to race. And I mentioned earlier that Mark's pass was not, I didn't have a problem with it. But yeah. The same argument could be made. Like, he had the speed. He could have taken that pass somewhere else. There was still laps left.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was a relatively aggressive pass.
Yeah.
So I would use his own words against
him. I do also wonder him still being new on the bike. Is he like doing stuff like that? Just be like, I wonder if I can do this and just kind of going for it. I don't think so. I think he's trying to be a little bit smarter and more mature than that this time around, but I don't know. But yeah, so the only other thing that I will say is there was one rider out of the two that got back on his bike and finished the race. There was another rider that just sat there and said, this is terrible. And the condition of the bike, okay, I don't know. But the rider that got back on his bike and finished the race didn't come in last place and almost grabbed a point. Well, not almost, but he was 2 seconds off of the last point scoring place. So that, seeing that live right there, to me, meant a lot.
Unless, like you said, his handlebar, his clip-on could have been snapped off.
Yeah, yeah, he could have looked at the bike. I mean, he knows the bike a lot better. I didn't get a close-up. He could have walked over them and like, yeah, no freaking way I'm riding that. But there wasn't even like an attempt to pick it up and get on and go.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, Mark was pretty quick to grab his bike and go.
That was kind of my biggest thing about it was like, well, who still brought the bike home for a crossing, you know, of the finish line? I don't know.
Mark's got a bit of a don't care attitude in a good way. I mean, he was out there waving to the fans afterwards. He was.
Yeah.
And like I said, Pecco was back in the booth.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about Mark this year is that everyone's like, oh, you're going to go win this championship. And he's like, no. Zero expectation for myself. I just want to have fun. And now he's like, I'm having fun. He crashed today and he's like, yeah, it was terrible, but at the end of the day, I'm happy with the result. We learned a lot of good things. We're still moving forward. So he is purely breaking it down by like, I take an entire race where I can run with these people, do well, handle the bike, lap after lap, good lap times, all this great stuff. So
that brings me to, we got to put you on the spot now.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Is he just happy because he's knowing he's going to COTA next week and he's going to regain the King of COTA title? Or next race rather than next week?
Yeah, I hope he does. I'm hoping that Alex Rins, Mark Marquez, and Pedro Acosta are your top three finishers at COTA next weekend.
What about the Beast, man? He's got to beat the Beast.
What about the Beast? Who cares about the Beast?
He won COTA too. He's the one that originally took the title.
Bastianini?
Did he not?
No, I don't think so.
Alex Rins won last year. Who won the year before?
Alex Rins. MotoGP. Hang on. Here we go. MotoGP COTA winner history. Hope that just brings up a list. Yeah, well, I want by year, but I don't want it to end in 2019. 2022, they didn't go to COTA.
Yes, they did.
Then who won?
Have I not been to COTA?
Oh, no, you're right. Okay, there it is. Inea Bastianini. Yeah. But he didn't he didn't originally take it. It was Alex Rins that took it in 2019. Who took it in 2020? No, 2020 was the year we didn't have because of COVID. 2021, Mark came back and won it. I don't know if that's true.
It's true because that's the year he had Jet Lawrence on the podium. They were eating donuts together, probably.
Yeah. Okay, yep. And then Inea Bastianini in 22, and then Alex Rins in 2023 again. So who will be the 2024? Yeah, I don't know. I guess, sure, Bastianini. I got to stop. I got to get back on the I like Bastianini train, but for some reason, I just don't like him this year. I think there's too many like other people, because I don't see Mark as a Ducati guy because he's not on the factory bike. I know he's on a Ducati, but he's not on the factory bike. And he's the only non-factory bike rider doing okay so far this year. Really strange. Yep. Pedro, I just feel like could do some great things. I don't know. He's the rookie. Want to see him up there playing around. And then Alex Rins, he did it on a Honda last year. Out of nowhere. So who knows with that guy?
Yeah. So he could definitely do it on a Yamaha, I guess. But
that's where my mind was at. I'm like, man, he could.
He's looking
pretty different.
He's looking pretty terrible so far on that Yamaha, but
yeah, although
he's on my fantasy team, if you guys want to copy.
I don't recommend that. Oh. Anyway. All right. We probably drug that out long enough, I think. Before we leave, what are your predictions for COTA? Give me the sprint top three and race top three.
I think Mark's going to come back and take it. I don't know which one of those races, but I think in the race.
Okay.
In the race. Jorge Martin's going to go on a tear. Unfortunately, I'm afraid he's going to run away with things. Which is not what I want. After seeing what Pecco is, a little bit of an enigma to me this year, because he started the test setting like lap records. It looked like Qatar was a no-brainer. You know, he should have just blown everybody out of the water there.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not in the sprint. But then he came back in the race and looked like he just had a hiccup, so everything's fine. But then he wasn't on the podium in either round. I think it could be quite exciting. Somebody needs to pull Jorge back a little bit to keep it exciting. Because I could see that guy running away with things. But, man, if they keep chopping it up, I don't want Pecco to win every week. I don't want Martin to win every week either.
I agree.
I want to mix it up. But who's yours? You always ask me.
Okay, my predictions. I think Jorge is going to win the sprint 100%. I think Mark's going to be in second, and I think I can't give you a prediction. I'll throw it out there. Pecco in third, but I want to say Brad or Pedro. I want to say KTM in third. I think in the race, I think Jorge's going to wreck in the race. I'm calling that now. I think Jorge Martin's going to wreck it out in the race, either pretty early on or pretty late.
Will it be like intertwined with Mark's bike?
No. Nope, I think it's purely going to be him. I think he's going to make a slight mistake. But because I think he's still got it in him. And that's what I like about Jorge so much, is that he will do that. Right. It's questionable. Every week it's a little bit questionable. He's not quite on that, like, I'm the king, I'm going to just take it and have zero problems every week. He's still just a little bit edgy and just a little bit of unpredictable. So
you're still feeling residuals from last year where they got to trade blows. Pecco crashed, so it looks like he's the world's over for him. But then Jorge Martin would come out and throw it into a ditch the next week. So that it
back. Yeah, and forth, so I'm gonna put Mark on the win. Pecco right there in second. And then Alex Rins in third. I don't know.
There you go.
But I do think Jorge is going to wreck out of the race. I think he's going to do crazy in the sprint. He's probably going to qualify first, Super Saturday, go nuts. And then Sunday, he's going to be doing great and then wreck out and be freaking wild. So that's my prediction for COTA. COTA is 3 weeks away. If you don't have your tickets yet, go grab them. We got an American. He's coming. He's ready.
And one side note, you've been to the last two MotoGP races.
Yes. No. One.
And Mark didn't make it.
True.
So. As of right now, this will be the first time you get to see Mark on track. In the flesh.
It's true. In blue.
Yeah, if you can call that blue.
Barely blue, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm actually super excited about that. I am a longtime Mark fan. My entire MotoGP career of watching, I've been a Mark fan. He's the king of COTA. Back when I was watching, it was always sweet to watch because he would win COTA, and then he wrecked, and then he had like 3 years of just being whatever, who knows. And he should, as of right now, will be at COTA this year. I do expect him to do great things. I think COTA and Germany are going to be his big, like, prove to the world he's still Mark Marquez, if you will, because he did do so well there in the past. And then last year he did so badly in Germany. Like, Germany was kind of his, like, real just punch in the chest. Yeah.
I'm done.
So, very excited for that. And excited in general. COTA's going to be sweet. It's always great to go watch some MotoGP action. Glad they're still coming to America. Hoping maybe they add a second round of the list in the upcoming years. We'll see.
Yeah. Hopefully. We can talk about that later. Let's let these people go.
All right. But anyway, if you're still here, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening and watching, whatever it might have been. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Follow, download, whatever that might be. We're on all platforms. We appreciate you guys and your support. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.